All right, we're back. We're back in the studio. You hear that? Listen to that baby purr! Woo! I'm back in my muscle car studio. Fuck. This hunt recap is going to probably suck. I know there's always background noise, but this one's gonna be even worse. Some cocksuckers stole my fucking catalytic converter while my pickup was sitting in the parking lot at the airport. The nerve! Jesus Christ! Why does this shit happen to me? I don't even... Like, woe is fucking me, right? I'm always... For whatever reason, this is like everybody's favorite fucking part of the episodes. It's all the dumb shit that normally it's shit that I do to myself. This one wasn't me. Fuck, I guess I should have parked closer to a fucking light. I don't fucking know. So I'm gonna start at the end and then circle back to the recap of the grizzly hunt. Jesus Christ. I hope you could fucking hear this, because I ain't doing this podcast again. Luckily, I'm a loud motherfucker. So, yeah. I don't know. I've been robbed. What was I going to say about that? I had more... I'll fill you in at the end, but at least you know why my truck sounds like a goddamn Chevelle or some other cooler car. Oh, I know what I was gonna say. So anyway, I call the fucking... Like, I don't even know what to do. I get in my truck when I get back to... I get back to the parking lot there. The shuttle drops me off. I jump in my truck and I fire it up and it's like... And I fucking shut it off real quick. And initially, my initial thought was, that sounds like I lost my fucking... Like, it never dawned on me. Like, I live in Podunk, Nebraska. Like, having somebody steal your... Like, steal your muffler or steal your shit doesn't even... That doesn't really occur to me. I'm like, oh my God. Like, immediately, I shut it off so quickly that I thought, like, oh my God. Like, my truck's knocking real bad. It's out of oil. Who knows? My initial thought was the engine was fucked. So I walk around. This is how stupid I am, though, too. I walk around, I'm like, God damn it, is that a muffler thing? So I look underneath my muffler, and it's like a split exhaust. I know absolutely nothing about vehicles. Absolutely nothing. I probably should have known where there's a fucking exhaust pipe that's got a cut in it, that maybe that's not right. But I was like, maybe that's just a... like a cap. I don't know what the fuck I thought. I just, it didn't even dawn on me. Yes, I'm a moron. So I get up, I go start it again, and it does, obviously does the same fucking thing. I'm like, fuck. So I shut it off. This time, I'm like, that definitely sounded like a muffler. So I crawl under there on the other side, and I'm like, holy fuck. Literally, there's a section of my muffler gone. Like, what the fuck? Fresh cuts, you know? Fuck. So I call the... I don't even know what to do. I'm, like, pissed off. I call Pike's Peak. And they're like, you gotta call this number. So the guy gives me this number. So then they're like, okay, yeah, wait just a second. They transfer me, and then I, all of a sudden, I'm like laying underneath my truck, looking at this, and I get like some emergency and EMS or something, I don't know, call center, the cops, I'm assuming. So I tell them what's up. I'm like, well, somebody fucking took my catalytic converter, I think. And he's like, yeah, that's pretty common around these parts. I'm like, are you, what? He's like, you can file a complaint if you want to. Like, got to get online and do it. I don't know if it'll, I think he even said, I don't know if anything will come of it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, all right. So, anyways, after consulting my mechanic friend, I jumped in and fired it up and fucking headed on down the road. But before I get into all the great details of my long journey home, I don't know why this shit always happens on the way home. Like, I feel like my ride, my trip up was actually pretty phenomenal. Let me just see here. I wrote down some shit. Let's see. Sorry. Okay, I got one for you. So anyway, there was nothing crazy happened on the way up. It was a good flight. Everything was solid. But I get to Fairbanks. I flew into Fairbanks about a week ago, 8 days ago. Let's see, what day did I leave? I left on, Jesus Christ, what's today? I left on Sunday, I think I left on Friday, Saturday, somewhere in there, stayed the night in Denver, and that was the other fucking, I mean, god damn it, this is what fucking pisses me off. I had booked a hotel room for the night before my flight, because I flew out at like 8, and that's 4.5 hour drive to Denver, so I was like, I don't want to get up at 2 a.m. and try to be there by 6 or whatever the math would be on that. Oh, hang on, sorry, let me get after it here and see if I can get this fucker up to speed. It's gonna be the worst fucking podcast ever. Holy Jesus Christ. So anyway, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not gonna do this podcast right now. I'll jump back on here after a bit, or maybe tomorrow, and fucking knock this shit out when I'm not in this fucking goddamn beast. Alright, I'm back. I just listened to part of the podcast, and it doesn't seem quite as loud or as much of an interference as it is for Jesus, sitting in here, it's fucking loud. So I'm gonna continue because I don't have fucking time the rest of the week. I'm either gonna be fucking working or hunting. I ain't got time for you fuckers. So, anyway, where was I? I'm just going to start from the beginning. And here's the reason. Usually what I do is I book a hotel room that's out by the airport, and I just pay. You know, usually they'll do like $8-$10 a night, something like that, which is basically the equivalent to parking at the airport. And they'll give you a shuttle to the airport. And not that your fucking vehicle, not that my vehicle would have been any safer there. But I got to the hotel. I had booked this room, and I never stay at the same one because I'm a cheap cunt, and I'm always like, ah, fuck, what's the cheapest one on fucking Priceline, you know? And so I booked this room, and it says free parking, which I know that means overnight, but I thought it said airport parking. Anyway, I get there and they're like, I said, well, I've already paid for the fucking room. And, I said, hey, I need to get a shuttle in the morning. And the lady's like, all right, what time? And I told her, and I was like, and I also need to, set up, you know, a week's worth of parking. I'm going to be gone, for about 8 days. And she's like, we don't do that. Like, why, what do you fucking mean? What, you don't do that. Like, all the fucking hotels around here do that. What are you trying to pull? And, man, I said some really dumb shit on this trip. I should have started writing it down. Like, I don't know if my fucking brain was just soaked up with, I don't know what the fuck happened, but I mean, I say stupid shit all the time, but this, it was like even worse. It was like not foot in your mouth type stupid shit. Like actually, like, is this guy retarded type stuff? So she's like, I said, well, I don't think I want to stay here. And she's like, well, you have to take that up with whatever Expedia or Prior, whatever online fucking nightmare that I went through. I said, well, I already know that I'm fucked on that. They don't care. They've already been paid. It's like, fuck. So I go, I literally said, so if I take the shuttle, what do I do with my truck? And she, bless her heart, she just looks at me. She's like, well, you could just drive it to the airport and leave it there. Holy shit. I was like, God, I didn't even acknowledge how stupid it was. And, she just kind of let it slide. And we moved on. They said, you want a cookie, sir? Because apparently this hotel is famous. I don't remember. It's like a Hilton or something. Right? They must be famous for their fucking fresh baked cookies. And I said, yes, I want one. And she said, how many? And I was thinking there were the tiny little ones. And I was like, two of them. And these were like fucking legit, like almost crumble cookie, fucking warm, awesome, scrumptious cookies. And that's the start of probably the worst week of eating I've ever had in my life. I know what you're thinking. Jake, aren't you on a hunt? How did you eat poorly on a hunt out there earning it? I'll tell you. Just hold on a minute. So anyway, I went, proceeded to go to my room, and let me look and make sure there wasn't anything else funny that happened in the hotel. Oh, that's right. I got to tell you about the tour. No, that's the next hotel. I'm sorry. I'm all fucking mixed up. So anyway, I went to the hotel, proceeded to eat both fucking cookies. And mind you, I had just eaten an entire steak and, I don't know, some other shit. You know, like healthy stuff, but probably like 1,800 calories worth of it. So anyway, I got up the next morning, everything went good, went to the airport, flight was on time, didn't have any issues getting through security, went good, parked my truck at Pike's Peak, thought she was safe, and, got to Fairbanks without incident.
Let's see, how did I fly that time? Not the UK. Oh, I flew from, that flight was Denver to Anchorage, then over to Fairbanks. So anyway, I got there. Everything was great. Grabbed my bags, and I come out of security. Well, that was before I grabbed my bags. Come out of security, and there's like all the people standing there with like fucking signs. And you guys would be proud of me. I actually booked my hotel room for that evening because I had another hotel. I had to overnight in Fairbanks because I was flying out on Wright Air the next day. So I come off the plane and I'm staying at the Princess Lodge. And there's a guy holding a fucking sign that says Princess. And I don't think he spoke much English. He was like, I think he said Princess. And I said, the hotel? And he goes, mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, I'm staying there. And he points me to a desk. So anyway, I go over there, tell these two ladies. I was like, and when I get there, it says Princess Cruises. I'm like, what the fuck? I said, well, I'm looking for a Princess Hotel. She goes, yeah, it's the same thing. She goes, we'll be your shuttle. We'll get your bags, go to the other end. We'll get a hold of you when we head out. And I didn't honestly even hardly look at these ladies. You know what I mean? I didn't like memorize who the fuck they were. Pay attention, because this, there's a reason I'm telling you this. So anyway, I go to the other end and I'm standing there and all these people are fucking just standing around. Most of them are probably in their, like, mid-80s. You know what I mean? This is like a fucking, it's either people in their, mostly in their mid-80s or, like, young families with kids. And, so anyway, we all go outside. Eventually, I'm looking for a van that says Princess Lodge. You know, I'm just kind of watching because I don't even trust these ladies to, I mean, they've talked to like 30, there's like 40 of us standing there. And I don't know who's going where or what the fuck is going on. Anyway, so I'm standing outside and this younger gal that I did not recognize her. She walks out and she was of the not white, not black. I don't know what, I don't know, maybe, like Indian, and I don't mean like my kind of Indians. I know that's supposed to be racist, but no one listens to this shit anyway. And I don't know how else to tell you. She looked like, you know, whatever. Fuck, who cares what she looked like? But the reason I'm saying that is because she said something to me. She looked right at me, kind of. And said something, but I didn't recognize it. And there was somebody standing right behind me. And as she said it, I looked at her with this dumb, like, what? And then I turned, and there's somebody standing right behind me, and they just shook their head at her. And I was like, oh, she's not even talking to me. What? I'm a fucking moron. And she's pushing this old gal in a fucking wheelchair, and she just walks off. I'm like, all right, well, fuck, okay. So about 5 minutes later, she comes back and she looks at me again and she says, sir, princess? And I said, yeah, that's my hotel. And she goes, anyway, at that point, I pissed her off. She's like, that's why I try. She's trying to tell me. I don't even remember. She was kind of mad. She's like, well, yeah, I know. I was trying to get your attention earlier is basically what she said to me in broken English. And then I'm thinking like, fuck, did my fucking shuttle leave me? Because you know what I mean? Like, anyway, it was 100% probably my fault, but I'm kind of pissed off. And you know how I am anyway. I've got a kind of a potty mouth. And we're walking. Then she like says, follow me. So I start going over there and we're talking. And I'm kind of pissed. And I'm just like saying, I'm just like, she's like, well, that's what I was trying to get a hold of, get your attention. And she's like, kind of like scolding me. And it kind of pissed me off. And I was like, well, I said, I didn't even know what the fuck you said. And no, I didn't say fuck. I said, I didn't even know what the hell you said. That's what I actually said. Those are the words. And she goes, she just stops. She goes, sir, I had never. And she's just fucking like, I never talk like that. I would never talk. She just starts fucking yelling at me. I'm like, okay. She just points at this fucking giant bus, like a literal tour bus, and just storms off. I was like, ah, fuck. Okay. So I walk over and get behind this 90-year-old and his wife in fucking Hawaiian t-shirts. And I just stand there like, what? Like, I'm going to get on this fucking bus and they're going to be like, all right, next stop, fucking Prudhoe Bay or something. You know what I mean? I'm just like, holy Christ. We're going to get on the fucking ship. So I get on the bus, and luckily it did take me to the Princess Lodge. I don't know. If you're not laughing and you're not amused by that, go fuck yourself. Because I was sitting on the bus looking around at all these old people, like, and they're looking at me kind of like, who the fuck is this, like, serial murderer looking guy with the army backpack? You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck have we got ourselves into? Yeah, anyway. So I go to the hotel, and it's kind of warm out. It's been, it's fairly nice. I get in the room, I get all checked in, get in the room, and it's hot in the fucking room. Like, it's cooler outside. So I prop the window open, but the wind's not blowing. And I flip the AC on, and it's blaring, you know. And get my shit, you know, organized or whatever. And then, after about 15 minutes, I realize it's not cooling down. So I walk over and feel the air, and I'm like, fuck, this ain't even cool air. What the hell? And I'm a cocksucker when I'm hot. Like, I don't like to be hot. If I'm going to pay for a fucking room, it better have air conditioning. And now I have been in some rooms in, like, small podunk Alaska, like Cordova, where they don't even have an air conditioner in there, but they don't need one. I mean, it never gets above about 65 degrees there. But it was probably closing in on, you know, 80 degrees in that room, high 70s. I'm not okay with that. It was seriously warmer in there. So I called down to the, I'm like, God dang it. So I called down there, we'll have maintenance come up. This guy comes up, and I don't even understand what the fuck it is about Fairbanks, but nobody speaks English. This guy was from, like, fucking Austria or something. Like, he's like, he don't work. That was a terrible fucking accent, but you get what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't work. So he goes over and he takes the front panel off of it, and it's just I don't even know. I guess it may be a radiator type with a condenser. Fuck if I know. You'd think I'd know, but it wasn't like a PTAC unit like what I'm used to, but similar to that. And he takes the front cover off, and I don't know what he's doing down there. He's just like fucking around. Then he puts the cover back on. He says, cooling switch off. I'm like, what? I say, is that a thing? I didn't say that. I mean, maybe it is. You know, I don't know. I don't think that in the inner guts of a fucking unit that there is. I'm probably going to get an HVAC guy. Like, oh, yeah. Well, it just seemed strange. It did start kind of cooling a little better, and with the window open, it was fine, but it did never get a lot better. I know this is fucking stupid, but I'm just going through it because you know what happened when I got there? A lot of fucking fog. So the hunt, the 7 days of hunting is going to be some pretty short conversation, short podcast. Now I got to get my content up. I got to get up to that hour so I can get those paychecks. Anyway, got up the next morning. I called. I was supposed to fly out about 2. And Wright Air is just, it's, the airport is like one side of there. I don't know if it's a fucking river or what it is. Maybe I'm just completely butchering this, but there's like 2 sides of the airport, the main airport and the other airport. And we're within a couple miles of each. As this crow flies, we're within like a mile of it. So anyway, I get up and I get my shit organized. I call the desk and they're like, I said, well, I need a shuttle over to Wright Air. And she goes, we don't do that, sir. I said, you run a shuttle to the airport. She goes, yeah, only to the main airport. She's like, what the fuck? Okay. So I said, fuck it. You know, I'd been eating garbage still. I think I'd had ordered a pizza that night or something and eaten the fucking entire thing. It wasn't good. So I go, oh, screw it. I'll just walk. It says it's only 3 miles. I'll just take off an hour early and walk over there. Which would have been no problem other than I had that goddamn giant wheelie bag. And the only thing I don't like about that new setup I got, I don't know if I talked about it, but I've got the what the fuck is it? Everly Stock duffel, I don't know. But it's got a basement in it with foam. And I custom cut in so I can carry 2 sets of limbs, 1 riser, my quiver, and then 2 boxes of those day 6 boxes. I don't remember what they are, those little rectangle ones. So I can carry 12 broadheads in there. It's fucking awesome. Like, that thing is perfect. You strap all that shit in, then all your clothes and shit go on the top, and then I put my sleeping bag over the top of all of that, and it just made for a perfect, cushiony bag. The only downside to it is, there's 2 downsides. One, like the Sitka bag, you could stand it up on end. It had a hard bottom, so it would stand on end. This one, you gotta lay down because of the size, just a soft duffel bag. And the only handle they put on it is just a little strap. So you got out. So when you're walking with it, it's kind of hitting you in the fucking back of the legs a little bit. It's not made to walk 3 goddamn miles, which ended up being about 3.5 miles, actually. But anyway, I made it. I made it to within about 1/4 mile, and this couple pulled over, kind of a granola type couple, not a hunting couple, but they pull over and they're like, "Where are you going?" I said, "Right Air." And the guy goes, and at this point, I'm running a little late, and my guide had called me, and he's like, "Are you getting on the plane today? Because they haven't flown in 4 days." It's like, oh, fuck. You know, and I'm supposed to check in like 10 minutes ago, you know, at this point. I know I'm close. I was like, oh, fuck. So when these people stop, they're like, where are you going? I said, Wright Air. And they go, oh, that's quite a ways down there. You want to ride? And normally I would have said no, but I didn't have the time. And I'm like, yeah, sure. So we threw my big ass bag over their fucking seats, and I jumped in, and they're quizzing. Super nice couple, but I try to make it a point not to just hop in with random folks, you know what I mean? But I guess in Fairbanks, it's probably not that big a deal. But anyway, they took me right down there, and it did seem a little farther than it showed on my little map. But anyway, got there. All that was good. Plane was on time, or fairly on time. It was, like, raining and socked in, kind of, by the time we got up in the air. And it was a little bit of a bumpy ride, won't lie to you. Got into camp that night. Took care of all the paperwork. Got my grizzly tag. Bought a black bear tag. Hunting license, all that shit. Had a little supper, and then we went out. Let me just explain to you what this hunt entailed. Basically, I had set this up. I went with Jonah Stewart, Jonah's Alaskan Adventures again. He's where I shot my brown bear, and then 2 years ago where I went sheep hunting and had the fucking bad weather that socked in for 11 fucking days, and we couldn't find a legal ram. But a couple of those days, we hunted the haul road, and we found grizzly bears, and we stalked three, and damn near killed one, like really close on one. I actually have a video. I know maybe some people have seen it, but we were coming over this hill where a grizzly was bedded right down below, and he just got up and walked around the corner before we got there. I mean, fuck, if he just laid there for one more goddamn minute, we were right there. And by the time I got turned on him, he whipped and whirled, and that was the end of that. But so I felt confident. Like, I was like, this, I can do this. I want to kill a grizzly bear, so I'm going to go back. Jonah took care of me and did it on a trophy fee deal. I don't know if he'd like the fact that I told you that or not. I don't, we're friends, and me and Harold are friends, so that may be why. But it was worth, you know, it was a good deal for me. And so anyway, that's what we were gonna do. It was not a crazy, you know, backpack hunt or fly-in hunt. Those cost more money. It was just, we were basically road hunting, which, like I said, I did that for like 2 or 3 days a couple years prior, and even though it was socked in, we did find some bears. That year it was socked in on the top of the mountain, like where the sheep were. But you could still find the bears because they were kind of down a little bit lower. And we really didn't have a lot of visibility problems that year as far as where the bears were. We just weren't able to find any sheep. So fast forward this year. I'm not even going to go over each day because it was all the same. It was, we got up, we had breakfast, we got in this truck. And we drove fucking 80 miles north on the bumpy, shitty. If you ever been on the haul road, you know what I'm talking about. It's fucking rough. And a lot of semis and shit. And we just stopped in good glassing spots and glass for a while. And then we'd move on. And we're just hoping to get lucky and catch a bear. Now, it's actually probably one of the most advantageous ways to hunt bears. If you can fucking see, by that, what I mean is it was literally socked in every single morning and socked in to the fucking ground many mornings. Like there was a few times where we were just praying we'd see something right off the fucking side of the road. But it's basically 6 hours in the morning. And then, we take a little break in the middle of the day and go back out and make the same loop. And I know like every hunt has its fucking challenges, and I'm sure everybody's like, oh, that sounds like a fucking easy hunt, and it was super easy, kind of. Like, it was mentally fucking torture. It was mental fucking torture, and the reason is because my dumbass, for one, I can't handle myself when I'm away. When I break my routine, I go fucking crazy. Like, once I quit working out, and I just can't say no to food. And of course, like, all the snacks they have there, I don't like fruit bars and shit with raisins in it, and a lot of the stuff that some of these outfitters have for a little more healthy snacks. So I've got a fucking bag full of peanuts and candy bars and jerky. That's it. And I'm just mowing down fucking candy bars and sitting for 12 fucking hours a day. It's my own damn fault. Like, there was definitely ways I could have done better. I just couldn't do it. Like, I mentally, I fucking broke. I just didn't, as far as eating goes anyway. I mean, I got discouraged. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you like, no, I just grinded it out. I'm just a fucking grinder. I'm not that fag. Sorry if you use the word grind. It kind of drives me crazy, but we can still be friends. I don't know. I was begging to go hike. That's what I wanted to do. I mean, I've never wanted to go after something so fucking bad in my life. We did end up, like, on the third day, we finally found a black bear. Big old fucking black bear. And he's up, and the fucking fog was... He was right at the fog line. The Herald's like, you want to go? It's like middle of the day. We had just got done doing our grizzly run, and we were kind of back towards camp. And I said, yes, I want to fucking go. So we strapped our shit on, went up there. And as soon as we got up there, the fog settled in, and we had a couple other, we had a packer and another guy that was just, he was stuck, basically. He didn't have a client. He was waiting on a moose client, so he just wanted to go do something. And so anyway, they stayed down at the pickup, and they were going to flag us in. We got up in the fog, and... Everything looks the fucking same, especially when it's foggy, and I don't know what happened. I don't think we bumped him, but we might have. We ended up pretty close to where he was. The fog kind of settled out of there. It was kind of funny because our hand signals, we did not go over very well beforehand, and but I did remember one of them. I glassed, as soon as the fog lifted, I glass down, and I see John, and he's glassing up at me. And then I see him turn around, and a fucking beacon of light comes out of his fucking ass. He's mooning me. Which was the signal for "you're fucked." I remembered that one. He jokingly said that, and thank God he did, because I don't think we had another signal for that. I said, "Harold, he's showing us his ass." And Harold's like, "What the fuck does that mean?" I said, "It means we're fucked. So it means the bear's gone." So I'm like, "All right." So we went back down and headed out. Went back for lunch. And I think that same day, I'm pretty sure that same day, we did the grizzly loop. And we were about halfway up there, most of the way up there. And it was... just socked into the fucking ground. And we're like, this is stupid. So we're like, fuck it. Let's go up. Let's go back up to that Black Bear Mountain and see. And we ran back over there. And down farther south, it was just a little bit more open. We ended up finding that bear again, and he was kind of coming across right to left, basically in the same spot. He must have just went around the corner. We must not have spooked him too bad. So we get up there, we get above him, and we can see him. He's coming across. He's literally, we're going as far left as we can to get on the spine, basically, to go up to the top. And he's coming over. Like, we're going to get in front of him. It looks good. And we get above him just a little ways, and to his, right in front of him, where he's coming. And we see him, and he's probably like 90 to 100 yards away, and he's just milling around there, fucking around, eating berries, doing whatever. And he starts kind of working his way towards us, angling down. I'm like, this is perfect. The wind's good. It's in our face. It's coming up the mountain. I'm like, fuck, he's dead. There's a lot of topography. It's fucking awesome. We go around these willows, and I get down by this one willow, and he's angling towards me. And at one point, he's standing perfectly broadside at 51 yards. I range him like, oh my God, come on. Just 20 more yards. Even if you angle farther down, I can go around and cut you off. You are dead. And I don't know, whatever fucking, I think the wind had swirled just one time a while back, and that's what kind of made him go. He definitely caught a little bit of our wind because you could see him sniffing the air, but he wasn't sure what was going on, and he didn't spook. But for whatever reason, he didn't want to keep going in our direction. He started going down. At that point, I just tried to get aggressive and fucking ended up bumping him. I was, you know, hunting in fucking rain pants, and which I hate fucking doing. Rain pants and gaiters, you know, sound like a goddamn just coming through the fucking brush. And I tried to do my best, but I think he never saw or smelled me. He heard something and kind of busted off, and he didn't even go that far, but the jig was up, and that was it. And we spent the next, that was day three. I hunted 7 days. I hunted 6 full days, and I hunted a night when I got there and a morning before I left. So I hunted 7 full hunts. And, so anyway, the next 3 days were not uneventful, because every morning, we started running into, spruce grouse, and I had some judos, so I was fucking sending it at those little bastards, which, as many shots as I took, I didn't get very many of them, but I think I ended up killing like 4 or 5, and I had one get away with I shot one out of a tree, and he literally fell out and then hit the ground and started flying. He was probably only like 3 foot off the ground, and I'm running through the thick trees trying to catch up to him, and the river was right there. I mean, we were within 50 yards of the river, and he must have got across it or something. I didn't end up getting that little bastard, and he got my arrow. He took my arrow to fucking kingdom come. So that was fun. You know, we took a few of them back and put them on ice. And then I ended up I saw 2 wolves. We saw 3, but Harold's the only one that saw the other one. I saw one. It was standing in the middle of the road about 200 yards away. Harold's like, what the fuck is in the road? And as soon as I saw, I was like, wolf. And he took off fucking driving. And apparently you don't need a wolf tag there. You can just shoot him with a hunting license. I hope none of this is fucking wrong, because that's what they told me. But I jumped out of the pickup, and I went around the back. I had my bow, and the fucker is down in the ditch, probably 80, 90 yards away, and he just standing broadside looking at me. As soon as I come to where I can see him, obviously I can't shoot him, because I'd have sent it at 80. If he's standing there, I don't care. Like, it's a wolf. Like, you gotta, try. Unethical, Jake. I'm done with this fucking podcast. Fuck you. God. But he started trotting away. But he wasn't afraid. You know, we're in our archery corridor. These fuckers don't get fucked with. So I tried to sneak, you know, I actually tried to go around him and got in this little ditch. And anyway, that was it. That was all of it. He obviously didn't give me a shot. Whatever. You know, it was cool enough just seeing him, because I've only seen one other wolf in my entire life. And to see one that close was fucking awesome. And then guess what else we found? Some sheep. Jesus, I think we saw three. I probably shouldn't even be telling you this, but it doesn't matter, because they closed the fucking archery corridor. You can't get a tag in there anymore. Trust me, I was begging for one. We saw three or four rams that looked like they'd go legal. It's like, where the... And these fuckers were below the fog line. And there was one that we saw like every fucking day in the same spot, in a really good spot. We could have got up there and killed him. I was just like, leave it to my luck that we are going to fucking have a hard time finding a bear to go after. And we're going to, you know what I mean? Like, that's how it's going to work. It's just how it is. Woe is me! We did see a fair number of bears, but they were all sows with cubs. I think we ended up seeing four different sows with cubs. One of them had three fucking cubs, and they were huge. Like, as I kicked those fuckers out, you know, they were as big as she was. Anyway, I digress. It sounds like it was action-packed, and it kind of was. But, I mean, it was worse than sitting in an antelope blind. I don't know. I just get really sore. I don't like sitting in a pickup. I really don't. Like, my hips start hurting. It's not. And, you know, you just feel like a piece of shit road hunting. But again, this is for the area, for the tag, for the what I had, for the weather. It was really our best chance. And we hit it hard. We road hunted the fuck out of it. And come on, Big Bessie, get up this hill. Jesus Christ. I'm going to have a hard time hunting fucking. I'm going to have a hard time road hunting around here. Thank God I'm not going to. Fuck, I'm going to park on the highway and hike the fucking dirt roads. Just to get some extra fucking walking in. But anyway, we ended up finding the last night of the hunt, we finally ran into a really nice bear. And I'm just making sure this fucker's still recording. It better fucking be. We ran into a really nice bear, and it was so perfect. Like, it was literally the first time that we could see blue skies in the entire time I had been there. And, of course, right there on top of a mountain, I'm even the one that glassed it up. It was fucking perfect. Big old grizzly by itself up on the hill, just eating berries. We're like, oh, fuck. As soon as Harold saw him, he's like, that's a big bear. Let's go. So we go up, we get parked, and we head up. Same deal. We kind of got the wind in our favor and went all the way to top. It's a fair ways to the top. I don't know. Like, as the crow flies, probably like a mile. you know, as you're zigzagging, whatever. It's not a long ways, but you know, it's just straight up. But there's really no elevation there, so it's not hard. It felt great, actually. I fucking loved it. It just felt good to get out of the pickup. So anyway, we get up there, and we work the entire mountain because we weren't sure. We had the wind perfect, and we knew where he was at the end of this mountain. So if he went anywhere, he would have come to where we were. So we checked all of that we could see, all the little draws. We kind of walked over just to make sure that he wasn't. We actually found some tracks. We didn't know if they were coming or going. Or even that day or whatever. I mean, it was just in some mud or whatever. So we weren't really 100% sure. It was just that shale mud or whatever where you could just see a dimple. Anyway, we worked that entire fucking mountain, and I'm like, he's got to be right over there. I'm like itching to go to where I know that he is, but it was smart to play the whole mountain out and make sure he wasn't in there. We get over to where he was. It's the only fucking place on the mountain that's got any berries. The whole time we were up there, Harold's like, there's nothing for him to eat up here. What the hell is he doing up here? So we get over there, and there's berries and bear shit, and we're like, fuck, where is he? So we're like, all right, he probably bedded in one of these little cuts or right on the edge of this timber somewhere. He's probably going to come back up this evening. So we, you know, get set up, and the wind's blowing pretty good, which I liked because it was, you know, keeping it consistent. And we sat there for, I don't remember, a couple of hours, and it's starting to get, you know, basically it's like an hour before dark. We're like, fuck, if he isn't up here by now, he's probably not coming up here. Like, well, let's work our way back and make sure that we didn't miss anything. And then we went even farther down the mountain to the very end of the other side of it and found nothing. And that was the it. That was the end. That was it. We never got an opportunity to stalk in and even fuck it up. I know we didn't bump that bear. I think he just moseyed on. You know, I think he just kind of went. I think he might have come. You know, now that I think about it, we saw one set of tracks coming over where that hill and working its way down to that. I think he was probably working his way down into the timber and off that mountain when we saw him. Anyway, it was still fun, but I'm glad to be, you know, I've got the itch. I didn't even get to put a stalk. You know, I that's all I'm asking for usually is just to get an opportunity to fuck it up. That's what I want, you know, in a hunt. And I could have stayed some more days. Jonah offered me to stay, but I mean, the fucking weather after that day, the next morning, socked to the ground, and it was supposed to be shitty for the next 3 or 4 days. And I'm like, man, it ain't worth it. You know, I'm just wasting my time up here. I got an elk tag, I got deer tag, antelope tags. I'm just gonna be a baby. I'm just gonna be a quitter. So I took off, flew back to Fairbanks that night when I was scheduled to, because they apparently, it sucks, Wright Air doesn't run a flight on the holiday, so they were, now it's Monday. I got back on Sunday night, stayed in a hotel, and then had to, they let me stay there. La Quinta, that's where you guys want to stay if you're in Fairbanks. It's right next to the airport. They got a good shuttle, good breakfast, and they let you do a late checkout. They'll store your bags. They let me stay till 3 for $30 extra, and they stored my bags because I wasn't flying out till technically Tuesday morning at 1 a.m. So I just basically sat in the fucking lobby of that hotel from 3 till 10:30, 11. And I did walk. It was raining all day, and then in the evening it stopped. I walked over and had another bite to eat. Like, I needed that. I seriously ate. I bet you I ate, 4,000 or 5,000 calories a day, and I probably only burnt, on the days we didn't stock anything, I bet you I only burned like fucking 1,800. I don't know. Maybe less. It was bad. I gotta get back on the fucking horse. I can't wait to get home and fuck go for a run and sit in the ice bath and fucking try to starve myself to death. It's gonna be hard though. Kicking that food habit's fucking tough. Traveling is brutal. And I just can't say no. And the ladies at the lodge, they found out that I liked cookies. So she was making me, I love her to death. Thank God. I mean, I'm not mad at her, mad at myself for not saying no. And she's making me a bag of cookies every day and eating candy bars. And so I got to get back to earning it. And as you all know, so here's one thing. I'm about home, but I got to tell you this last little deal. So there's a fucking guy that I used to kind of be friends with. He used to drive me nuts, not going to lie. And I don't even care if he's not going to listen to this. But even if somebody told him and he listens, I don't care. Like, I don't like this guy. He kind of fucked me on a job. And I'm not going to go into the details. Technically, he probably didn't fuck me. He lent me something and didn't tell me he was renting it to me. Which he probably had, he definitely had all rights to. But why the fuck didn't he tell me he was going to? So at the end of this project that I had hired him to do some work on, like, he made money on it, and then he let us borrow his lift for a little while, and then he billed me for it, which is fine if you tell me, but anyway, like I said, it was in a bad situation, and the homeowner already wasn't paying me. I got stiff for like 10 grand on that fucking job, and he fucking sticks me for 4 grand on that. On this list. So I don't like, I took the opportunity. Honestly, the guy drove me fucking crazy. I did not enjoy hunting with him, but he was kind of the only game in town. It was before I wanted to hunt by myself. Like, now I'm just like, fuck this. I don't need a hunting partner. I'll just go by myself. Go fuck yourself. I don't have to listen to anybody. I don't have to abide by your fucking what you want to do. It's great. But back then, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. So I hunted with this guy. So, needless to say, we are not on great speaking terms. And I think I might have even talked about this a little bit. When me and my wife went to Africa, we were flying there, and we run into this cocksucker, and he's on the same fucking plane to Africa, sitting like two rows behind me. What in the fuck are the odds of that? The guy doesn't even live where I live anymore. He moved away. Like, we have no communications. I was like, what in the fuck is this? When the Africa thing happened, I was like, you've got to be shitting me. I never did talk to him. I was kind of a baby cunt. My wife did. She talked to his wife or whatever she is. I don't know. But anyway, I just didn't. I just didn't fucking. Anyway, I just like, what are the odds of that? So I'm going to, I get from Fairbanks to, Fairbanks to Seattle. I'm in Seattle. I literally got off the plane, walked to my next plane. And one thing you got to know is I booked this flight with my air miles. And I had enough, just enough, to do a part of my trip, one of the directions, first class. Which, if you've never done that and been a cunt, it's awesome. And I wasn't paying for it. I was like, fuck it. I'll just use all my miles and I'll fly home first class, you know. And it'll take the sting out if I don't kill one. So which was great because I only had about a fucking 10-minute layover. And so I get off my one plane from Fairbanks, and I walk like three fucking aisles over. And of course, it's a late night. You know, I've been up all day the day before, and I got, you know, that shitty sleep on the plane that where you kind of sleep, but you kind of don't, and you're uncomfortable. Even first class, it's not great. Actually, it's almost worse because the chairs are so big that you're a little farther away from the... Oh, he's complaining about first class! Jesus! So anyway, you can't really lean up against the window. Anyway, so I'm tired. Like, I've been at it, traveling. I'm just standing there. I'm dicking with my phone. I turn around, and I'm like, there's no way that's Chuckles. We're just going to call him Chuckles. I was like, no way. Like, what the fuck? And the guy that I'm looking at is like fucking with his phone, and he's wearing he's wearing a goddamn Mystery Ranch pack. I'm like, no fucking way. If that's him, I'm selling all my goddamn Mystery Ranch packs. So I like walk over there, and I'm like standing behind this guy, and it doesn't quite look like him, but it does. Like, I'm like, fuck. And I don't want to talk to this guy, so I'm like, screw it. They call for first class to board. I'm like, screw it. I'm getting on the plane. So I jump on the plane, and anyway, I can see out the window, and it's one of those outside walk-up ramps. And I'm watching everybody come in because I'm like, I got to see if this is him. I don't think it's him. And he must have me blocked on Facebook because I was like going to search. I searched him. I was fucking creeping. I was like, is this motherfucker in Alaska? And so anyway, I see him coming and I'm like, oh my God, I think that's him. But I was still kind of like, hey, no way, no way. You know, he's just got one of those faces that it could be someone else. But sure as fuck, I'm like looking out the window as he comes in because I don't want to make eye contact, you know? And sure as fuck, I hear his fucking douchey voice say something to the... I'm surprised that I didn't hear his fucking laugh. Oh, God. Oh, I'm sorry. If you're friends with this guy or know what I'm talking about, I don't give a fuck. But, Oh, Jake, you're such a shit talker. No wonder nobody likes you. No wonder Snyder fucking kicked you out of his crew. You're an asshole. Oh, God. Anyway, sure as shit, it's him. I know he probably saw me. I never talked to him. But he was probably like, what a cocksucking, what a rich little bitch, you know, sitting first class. What a fuck, you know? And he's like, in his 50s, and I don't know, whatever, 60s, I don't know. Anywho, I digress. But what are the fucking odds of that happening twice? You know? I mean, I almost understand the one to Alaska, but the one to Africa, that's a fucking weird one, you know? Get on a plane in Newark, and here's this fucking guy that you don't like that doesn't live there doesn't live by you anymore. One of these times it's going to be Snyder, and he's going to fucking be sitting next to me. Oh, wouldn't that be fun? No, that's probably not true, because I don't get to fly first class very often, and he does, I think, every time. So here I am making fun of him, and I was in first class, but I didn't pay for it, so it was pretty awesome. And that's that. And then I cowardly fucking ran off the plane, went and grabbed my bags, and got the fuck out of there. And now I'm driving home with about 2,000 calories worth of Wendy's and Dairy Queen in me. Because I was so fucking tired, I thought I needed another blizzard halfway through the trip. That's it. That's That's the podcast for you folks. I hope you enjoyed listening. Stay tuned next week for another fun-filled vacation where I talk about something else. Holy fuck, that was terrible. All right. See ya. Oh, wait, I'm supposed to say get your fucking asses back to work. I ain't done this in a while. So get your asses back to work, and I'll talk to you next time. God damn it. Little bonus for you guys. I forgot one of the best fucking parts of the whole story. I forgot to tell you about the drunk fuck in camp. I got a few minutes before I get to town, so I'll tell it to you. Real quick. Hopefully you didn't tune out, because here we go. So, I don't know what happened the night before I got there. This guy, I didn't even hear about this till later in the hunt, but this guy was, he got there, he brought two boxes of fucking wine, boxes, and apparently proceeded to drink one of the entire boxes, which is like eight or nine bottles on the fucking box. And he's not a big guy. He got obliterated the first night he was there, which I don't know. I wasn't there. I didn't get to see it. So it sounded pretty fucking funny. You know, I think he told the outfitter to go fuck himself. You know, like he was a mess. But hey, you know what? You got to give a guy a fucking like pass. He gets away from home. He has a box of wine. And says, oh, fuck it, you know? Get twisted one night. Enjoy. Enjoy yourself, sir. So anyway, the night I get there, he gets moved into my bunk. I already didn't like the fucking guy because he was toting a fucking Kifaru. I should have known right there. I should have known this motherfucker was bad news. So, nothing. He gets flown out the next day. I don't see the guy for the rest of the week. Well, the night before I fly out, he gets flown in that day, the day before he had shot a grizzly. And all the other guys were rifle hunters. I have no idea why I had to tell you that. I just felt like it was necessary. Like it fucking matters. I never found, you know... Anyway, I could have killed that one I saw with a rifle, even if it would have been legal. So anyways, he gets flown back in, and I'm like, God damn it. And there, everybody's flown back in, so we're all bunking together now. And they got these little nice cabins, you know, with two little bunks in them. And God damn it, I got a fucking bunk mate. I was kind of irritated by it, but hey, it's only one night, and the whole time, I was like, why are you being a cunt? Like, you had to stay in a fucking tent, you know, shoulder to shoulder with buddies and guides and whatever else. Like, you'll be fine. His bunk is on the other side of the little 10 by 10 room. You'll be all right. So anyway, let's see. What happened? We were getting up early the next morning. We had dinner. Everything was good, whatever. We never saw that guy. You know, he was in the hangar. And before we went to bed, I guess, yeah, he was already fucking plastered. Plastered? What am I, fucking 60? He was hammered. Is that better? But anyway, he's in the hangar getting just fucking, he's got into his second box of wine. And they're talking about it. They're telling stories. And I was like, God, you gotta be, I was like, I tell you right now, that motherfucker comes in the middle of the night, wakes me up, or fucking does something stupid, I'm throwing his ass out in the fucking cold. That's happening. So anyway, nothing happens. I wake up, we're getting up at 5 to get, you know, go out and hunt that morning before I leave, try to give it the last hoorah, maybe catch one closer to the road. And we go in and the guides are like, yeah, I don't even remember what this guy's name is, but he's like, yeah, oh, what's his name? He's missing. I'm like, what? Like, yeah, apparently, John, one of the guy that was doing that fucking mooned me, he's like, yeah, I woke up, I heard something in the hangar. I woke up and, this guy is fucking pissing on one of their tarps they have set up to one of their, like, I think he said it was like, I'm assuming it was one of their tents, tarp tents that they had set up drying out in the fucking hangar. He's over there pissing on it. So they shove him outside, and he goes AWOL for a while. They end up finding him in the shower house, buck ass naked. Oh my god! Oh, and they were telling me some stories. I probably shouldn't tell them. But I don't care. Like, go fuck yourself. If you are going to do shit like this in this day and age, if you're going to go be a fucking tool bag like this, you're going to end up on somebody's fucking phone or on a low-level podcast where somebody is hating on you. So anyway, like they tried to put a bell on him that night so that he wouldn't, so they could hear him get up. He was trying to like fight everybody, and he's like, fuck you, I'm gonna fuck you up. one of the guides that, or packers or whatever, one of the guys that works there, that guy was trying to get back to my cabin, and he's like, no, you are not going to the fucking, you're not going over there. Jake's got a bad attitude, and you're not going over there waking him up, being a shithead. I mean, fucking thank God, he probably would have pissed on me. I mean, I don't know, there's not much you could do. I mean, that motherfucker would end up with a fucking day six in the side of the noggin. Like, Jesus Christ. I just can't imagine. Like, I guess I can't imagine doing that one time. Like, sometimes shit gets away from you, you know, and some guys just can't fucking handle their booze. I mean, this guy obviously could handle it pretty well if he fucking drank an entire box in one evening. I mean, that seems hard to do. Maybe message me if you think that's not hard. It would kill me, like two glasses of wine, and I hate wine. I wouldn't drink wine anyway, but it's pretty fucking impressive, but oh God, I probably shouldn't even tell you guys this part of the story, but I'm gonna, because it's fucking hilarious. So the outfitter's wife, goes to check on him. He's in the shower house, and, he's taking a shower. Like, we're thinking he's getting, and this is later in the day. This is like at noon. Because he's supposed to be driving Harold back to Fairbanks. And so he's actually in the shower with the door closed, you know, or the curtain closed. And at this point, he's got to be somewhat sober. You know, we've seen him. We've talked to him. He's a little better. He still looks fucking hammered. But, you know, he's not, like, threatening to fight everybody and falling on his face like he was the night before. So anyway, she pops right in and says, hey, I'm just wanted to let you know, Harold's ready to go. And this guy slings the fucking curtain open. He's got a fucking shirt on that's like a fucking, almost a belly shirt and zero pants. Just dangling there. And she's like, oh God. And just fucking turns and is like, sorry. And this runs out the fucking door. Again, I probably shouldn't have told that because it's not my story, but God damn it. Like, what the fuck? You know, only a Cafaro owner. You know what I mean? Oh, God. To be in that vehicle, be in that truck with Harold, because Harold doesn't take shit. If you know Harold, he's the greatest guy in the world, but he's very blunt. He'll say what he's on his mind. Oh, I can't even imagine. But anyway,
I am pulling into my driveway. I'm going to go see my kids. I'm so fucking excited. Now that's the podcast. And now get your fucking asses back to work. I'll talk to you next week.